Are you ready to experience something extraordinary? Cultural gems in Croatia, ancient temples in Asia, art in Italy. We'll take care of everything. Flights, accommodation, excursions, local guides and all that planning. Travel department. Let's see more.
Back-to-back championships for Ireland and a fantastic and memorable Six Nations Championship. Would you agree, Tony Ward?
It's a fantastic achievement. If we'd been offered that back in November, October, when we were knocked out of the World Cup, I've no doubt we'd have taken it. I still felt in our opening game, and I'm not being wise in hindsight, when we went to Paris, to Marseille as it turned out, I still thought we had a chance of winning that game, even though it was going to be the hardest game. And if we won that, then what transpired? And yet at the end of it all, when we got to last Saturday, and it was great getting the trophy and two in a row, there was just something missing. And we know what that was. It was not doing the Grand Slam, because that team was good enough to do the Grand Slam. And we didn't do it in the last two games because we didn't play well enough. Whereas in the first three games, we hit our straps. We weren't outstanding. But I definitely felt the better team won at Twickenham. And while the better team won again on Saturday against the Scots, we just didn't deliver the type of performance that is almost standard with this team now. They're great to watch. Really great to watch.
They are. The handling is fantastic. And a lot of it is fantastic, obviously. But they did struggle against England. And they struggled a bit to find their rhythm against Scotland as well. So the question people are obviously asking is, have teams potentially found out how to play this Ireland team?
Yeah, the obvious thing I'll say, but I think it applies to most games, they're slowing down the ball somewhat because the quicker the delivery we're getting. And I think what people are realising now is we do have an exceptional scrum half in Jepson Gibson Park. Like, his speed of delivery is extraordinary and his general reading of the game. So, yeah, they succeeded in slowing us down. I'm not sure. Going back to the England game where it kind of started, in every other game, and again, this might seem an obvious thing to say, but when the game starts, immediately Ireland, under Andy Farrell, impose themselves on the opposition. There's a tempo to their game. There's an intensity. And for some reason, it wasn't there.
Well, that's what England decided that they were going to do, and did.
Absolutely. And to some degree, the Scots did as well, even if it was a little more aggressive defensive play, if you know what I mean. They just didn't. Like, the first half, I found the game on Saturday paint drying stuff. The first half, I thought it was awful. And even the try we got, like, it was a gift. An overthrow from on their own line. And yet at the end of the game, we still deserve to win. So I wouldn't be overly concerned. England are definitely on the way back. That we've got to watch.
Okay, well, do we at some level lack a bit of creativity in certain circumstances?
Creativity? I don't think so. Bundy Aki, I would have gone all along prior to this season, despite Bundy Aki being in the centre, with the combination that we've had, Gary Ringrose and Robbie Henshaw, and yet Aki has been so good. But he too can be creative. He's not the greatest distributor compared, in my opinion, to the other two. But I think there's, and I'm jumping all over the place now, but I love Hugo Keenan. Like, I think he's really established himself in a very kind of discreet way as possibly, and here's this expression again, our greatest fullback of all time. Like, he's right up in that category.
Well, he didn't obviously play I meant to preface the question by saying, without Hugo Keenan, are we less creative?
We were somewhat, and we are struggling for an immediate follow-on at fullback in a like-for-like replacement. I'm a Jordan Larmour fan. Larmour's an ex-Andrews kid, so I would have seen him when he was younger. And he's He's got an X factor, there's no doubt about it. But Keenan has all the basics as well. And then the icing on the cake is when he counterattacks. And he's the complete package. Like, we can go over the years and we can talk about great fullbacks in Ireland. Has had many of them, from Tommy Kieran to Hugo McNeil. You can go through them all up over the years. But I think Keenan, in a very understated way, is a phenomenal player. And consistently.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's a beautiful runner.
Absolutely.
Beautifully balanced runner. No, he looks world class, is what he looks.
And yet he wasn't that in school. He went to Black Rock, but he wasn't that outstanding in school.
Well, wasn't the same true of Brian
Driscoll? And you were going to say that. Brian was reserve on the dream team. He didn't make the team. He was an out halfback then, believe it or not. He wasn't half bad afterwards, though, was he?
No. But, okay, so he says he's even wise in hindsight. And I don't, I'm the Bill O'Hurley in this. I'm no rugby expert, although I enjoy it. But so the question I want to ask you about some of the earlier matches, not the French match, but against Wales and even against Italy, particularly in the second half against Wales. I know they came back and there's always a Gatland kind of bounce, I suppose, if you like. But we looked, when they got at us, we didn't look quite as secure as we had looked. And I just have this feeling that some teams believe if you get, I suppose the term is up and at them or in behind them or put it up them, they mightn't like it so much.
Yeah, there's some truth in that. But I think, to be fair here as well, we're possibly taking Jack Crowley a little bit for granted. I mean, what a job, whoever was going to come in, to follow Sexton.
Was it always inevitable that it was going to be that more difficult?
It has to drop to some degree. If you ask me what I saw about Sexton that was different as a player, he has, and it's a courageous aspect to his game. Sexton's brilliant, in my opinion, at taking the ball up to the opposition and right into their face. Sometimes he even went beyond the first tackle and got the pass away. But to take it all the way up, and whether it was a short pass, whether it was a pass that was pulled back, he always seemed to pull, generally, the right pass out of it. So you had wave after wave after wave of Irish attack. To be fair to Crowley, he's only adapting to that now. And while he was a replacement, he wasn't in the side because Sexton was the main man. So you've got to allow for that as well. Sure. And it's a huge factor. If you're 9 and 10, you know, you've got to, for obvious reasons, it's the nature of the game, you've got to get it right in those two positions because that is the link, as you well know.
Well, he's a beautiful player. I mean, there's no question. His talent is exceptional.
He's the best at the moment as follow-up, definitely.
Now, there was one or two issues with some of his place kicking at times. I presume that'll fix itself.
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't worry about that in the least. And he's nailed some pretty good kicks for Munster as well, under pressure. So I wouldn't be overly concerned about that. And Sexton missed one or two in his time as well, as we can well remember. So I wouldn't. I tell you one thing I hate. This is a little personal bugbear. You watch goal kicking now, and every single kicker kicks the same. It's that the tee is at the perfect shape towards, like, God, in our day, we didn't even have sand. We weren't allowed sand. We had to dig a trench to try and make a thing and hope the ball would stay up. Whereas now,
and then replace your divot.
To make the divot, exactly. Whereas now you have the tee perfectly shaped where you want it to go, and every single one of them places the ball forward. A little bit, in our day, we used to look at Tommy Kiernan doing it, but it was a toe kick, you know, the torpedo kick, as we call it, the ball going forward. Everyone does it now because it's been proved scientifically that the aerodynamics or whatever of the ball are most consistent, if you put it that way.
Can I ask you, where is the ball actually struck in that case? Is it struck slightly under the toe of the ball?
Yeah, just at the toe of it, absolutely. It has to be, logically, you know, but it's, if you strike that, the likelihood is it'll go over where, I don't know, there's a little more, I suppose, a challenge in our day because there were so many different ways of playing the ball. Like, I would have been the complete opposite to that. I always like to tilt the ball slightly backwards.
So did I.
For the reason you said, to then get underneath the ball, whereas now it's the complete opposite, but what would I know?
And just going forward for Ireland, They toured South Africa this summer. What do you think about that, and how do you feel about us going forward as a team?
Hugely excited. It's, I mean, to play the world champions in their own backyard, and we've never won a series there, obviously. So we've won a test game there, but we haven't won a series. So it's a massive challenge. I do hope they do one thing, though, Gary. I hope they experiment. And I don't mean wholesale experimentation, measured experimentation, because you can't do it in the Six Nations for a number of reasons. It's a huge, in my opinion, the Six Nations outside of the World Cup is the biggest competition in the world. It's bigger than the Southern Hemisphere equivalent. And the interest in it is phenomenal. And that's why we have to treat it with the respect that we do. So experimentation is very difficult in those circumstances. I think a tour is an ideal thing. I'm disappointed in one thing that Andy has done in recent years. He's always arranged a game or two extra on these tours. Like when we went touring, as you know, they were for 2 or 3 months, so you had 16, 18 games or 8 or 10 games, depending on who you were touring with. Now you're just the two tests. I'd prefer if there were a couple of midweek games as well. And that's when you get a chance to experiment, like we did in New Zealand with that fantastic test win.
2-1 last year.
Yeah, which was terrific. And we had a few games to try players out as well, midweek games. I'd like to see that. But when it comes down to it, you've still got the world champions against. I don't quite buy the world's number one team, but when you're winning all your games as we are, we've earned that status. But I wouldn't say we're the world's number one team at the moment. I still think, for me anyway, I still think South Africa and New Zealand right now have it on us.
Yeah. Well, I think it was pretty much borne out in the World Cup. New Zealand did beat us and South Africa beat New Zealand. So
And we beat South Africa, which was a fantastic achievement.
Sponsored by Expressway. With My Expressway, free travel pass holders can reserve their seats online at expressway.ie or at our ticket machines in stations.
Are you interested in trying a new smartphone but still a little unsure? Do you want a phone that offers larger icons with louder sound and an interface that has technology designed for seniors? Well, why not choose from the Doro range by simply visiting doro.ie. Doro, make friends with innovation.
So, moving to the other end of the table, Wales. I think first time they've lost 5 matches in many, many, many years or ever, but played 5, lost 5. So where do you see that going for them?
Very different to what I was brought up with, certainly, and you would have been the same. Like, I mean, Wales were the standard bearers for me because I was brought up in the 70s and I got to play against and with a lot of those guys for Barbarians, Lions, etc. And Welsh rugby was just... it was just magical to watch when you'd have rugby on, it used to be on a Sunday afternoon on BBC Two, if memory serves me right.
Rugby special, that's
rugby
correct.
Rugby special, bang on.
Neath versus...
whoever, and you'd have... Yeah. I mean, to see... like, Gerald Davis was one of my heroes, and to see Gerald Davis dancing around players. I remember one game where, I think it was Cardiff, he was playing for Cardiff, against... it might have been Clonetley, and... he scored 4 tries and they lost because they didn't convert any of them, and 5 penalties beat it. It was just phenomenal. But yeah, it was a special breed. But to see them now, and a little bit of bias here, I'm not a Gatland fan and I'm not going to pretend otherwise. I don't like Warren Ball or whatever they call it.
What is Warren Ball to you?
It was very limited rugby that he played with the Lions, certainly during COVID. And most of the teams that I've seen, I remember when he took over Ireland first, you mightn't remember back to this, and he started introducing this 13-man line out when we got near the opposition line, and I just thought, God, is, you know, anyway, I don't need to elaborate on that. That said, he has had a phenomenal record with Wales in terms of his success, but they're struggling at the moment, and they're struggling at club level too, whereas our system here, like even Connacht now, you look at the young players coming through in Connacht, and they're young local players, at under 16, 17, 18, 19 coming through. And that's because of what they're seeing on the field. And they're now, like, I look out my window and I'll see, you know, as we always did, kids playing Gaelic football or soccer. Now they're walking around tossing rugby balls around the place. And that's because of what they're seeing. Naturally, we were all brought up on that. And I just think our provincial game is in a really solid condition going forward. And honestly, and I'm not being arrogant here, I can't see it changing. And I think David Nusafora, who's been, as you know, director of performance with the IRFU, he shipped a lot of criticism because club rugby has suffered to some degree on the back of it. But when you see, at the condition of our provincial game, at the condition of our schools game, at the transition from schools through the academy into the senior team, and when you see the sevens and how well we're doing in that, Nusafora has to take credit for that. And I think his successor excites me. I think David Humphreys is very similar, obviously with a much better playing career and pedigree, given that he played for Ireland. I'm not saying you need that, but I know David, and I think he's going to be of huge benefit. He's going to, I think there's going to be a continuation of what Nusafora has introduced. And as you know, in football, when you can get the manager from within, it makes continuity all that much easier, and I think that'll be the case.
One of the things Andy Farrell said, of course, was that it was probably a good thing that we didn't actually ultimately win the Grand Slam, or not a good thing, but not a bad thing, because it was a kind of a reality check. And maybe if we had one, it might have actually turned.
Yeah,
made it more difficult.
Yeah, I think there's definite. It's difficult to argue with that. There's some truth in that, and also for a player like who is a really exciting player as well, Joe McCarthy. I mean, he hit the ground running in the first three games, and he wasn't mapped, and that's not been particularly in England, and a little bit less so in the Scottish game. But he's learned that it's not that easy when you get up to that level, the highest level of all, as we all did in relative terms in our time when we came through. It's a different game. So losing to England and not being close to man of the match, McCarthy I'm talking about, that's good for him in his education as a rugby player. So, no, honestly, I don't want to sound overly optimistic, but I given the World Cup and the disappointment of that, we're in an even better place now, in my opinion.
Okay, moving along to a team who managed to win two matches, and they ended up playing some really good rugby, very entertaining rugby, and that was Italy. What do you think's going on there?
Watching their under-20 team in the last few years, they've been very competitive, so they've got their emphasis right, clearly. They're trying to build from grassroots up. When you think back on it, like, they came into the Six Nations in 99, 2000, around the turn of the century, and they had a very strong team back then. They actually beat us in 3 out of 4 games, and I was at those games. 2 of them were in Italy, and deserved to beat us. They were very, very strong. And then they've lost their way completely, and I have to say, along the way, I think they've been very lucky to retain their place in the Six Nations. There was talk of Georgia possibly coming in. And in fairness, it looks like it's now going full circle. I really hope that they can continue that again in the coming season, because it's awful, isn't it, when you know that you're watching a game and you know whether, in any sport, and you know what the result is, who's going to win. But that's why, like, for us to put 36 points on that team, I thought that was extraordinary.
And I mean, even the England match that they played in Italy was, I think, England won 27-24, so it was very close.
Oh, absolutely, in every game.
And do you think it'll keep on going in that direction for them? Do they have the structure there for that to happen? Do you think?
It would seem that way. Certainly, Benetton, Treviso are very competitive now in the URC or whatever they call it now. So they need to get both their teams competing, Zebra as well. But I remember back, there used to be Rugby Amatori Milano when I was playing, and myself and Jerry Murphy, I don't remember, Jerry used to coach the Ireland team as well, but we used to go over and do some stuff over there. In fact, in my last year, when my last year playing rugby, I was playing down here for Greystones, I was approached to go over and play over there for a season with Campisi and Michael Lina for Rugby Amatori Milano. And I tried to go because I knew it was going to be my last season, and I couldn't get leave of absence from the Department of Education in time to get the year out, which in retrospect, I regret it at the time, but it would have been nice. But my point being that even back then, the pieces were being put in place where they knew where they wanted to go. And along with Jerry, I had an association with that Amatori Rugby Milano. I have some stuff there that they sent me over the years. So Italian rugby isn't a Johnny come lately. It's
didn't Conor O'Shea coach or was heavily involved in as a kind of director of rugby in Italy, wasn't he?
Conor and Stevie Aboud, the pair of them, were heavily involved. And Stevie has been. Stevie was with me down in college in Limerick back in the day, and has always been obsessed. He was a good scrum half, but he was obsessed with coaching. A little bit like Brian Kerr. When I'm jumping all over the place now. But when I played with Rovers in the early 70s, just after I left school, and I opted for football ahead of rugby, which I didn't regret at the time, but when I signed for Rovers, Brian Kerr was there. We're the same age. But Brian was there as a coach at that age. He was Crumlin United. I was a team called Rangers in Bushy Park. But Brian knew he wasn't going to make it as a footballer, but he assigned for Rovers as a coach. And some people are just that way. And Stevie Aboud would be the Brian Kerr equivalent in rugby. So definitely Stevie and Connor, they played their part, however small, in I'd like to think, bringing Italian rugby to where it's going. I'd love to see them challenge. We all would. I mean, there was a time, apparently, way before any of us, when French rugby couldn't compete in the Five Nations.
They were the Italy, the Italy
of their day. Look where they are now.
Well, that brings us neatly to England, or to France, and that wonderful game, of course, I had with England at the end, the 33-31 match, won in the last couple of moments. A incredible effort for rugby. I mean, unbelievable. I mean, it was the match of the tournament, wasn't
without
it?
A doubt. And certainly on the last day, it was the game of the day, late in the evening. I know there was nothing at stake because the championship had been decided, etc. But I agree with you. Absolutely cracking. I tell you what else it shows you, and a bit of a lesson for me as well, I have to say, the importance of one player. I mean, you know, we all come out with these talking off air there about the outlandish thing of somebody being the greatest of all time. In my time, I would say Gareth Edwards, and you can't compare positions, I know that, but Gareth Edwards, for me, was the greatest player of all time because he has such an influence. Position he played, the way he played, what he did. You have to put Antoine Dupont in the same category and say he is the greatest player, certainly in the modern generation, if you're to draw that comparison. But France without Dupont and France with Dupont are two different
Completely different.
So if he comes back after the sevens, which I presume he will, the only way is up.
Why were they prioritising the sevens, by the way, over this?
Because they're hosting it. They're hosting the Olympics. Yeah. In Paris, aren't they?
Are they? I don't know.
Yeah. France are hosting it.
Oh, so that's why it's such a huge thing. Because it just seems unusual that that sevens rugby would be prioritised.
We're also going to see how brilliant he is too. Because when I played, I loved sevens because you had more space on the field and everything like that. I played quite a bit in our time. But they are now very much two different arts entirely. 15 aside and 7 aside. And apparently, I've only seen a bit of him playing sevens so far, but he's adapting. And he's going to be such a better 15 aside player, which doesn't bear thinking about based on what he's learning now at 7 aside, you know. But lucky France.
So at the end of the England-France match, then there was a lot of talk that, you know, both of these teams are going to be, you know, on kind of big rejuvenation sort of run. But you know, as you say yourself, France is Dupont and France without Dupont are two completely different teams anyway. So, but in England's case, do you think that they are on their way back?
But they should be. They shouldn't be fighting to their way back. But in the sheer numbers game, and also the quality that they have in their own domestic league, there's no excuse for England struggling.
Why did they struggle throughout this? Because at times, certainly in the early part of the tournament, they weren't.
The only thing you can assume is that there's been such a transition in coaching staff in recent times that is taking a while for them to bed down. That's all you can assume. And I know we've Felix Jones over there now. We have Nian Abers now in Leinster. So, you know, there's a lot of movement, but you get that within the game. I don't think England should be struggling. England should be challenging year upon year upon year. You know, you make the same point about England as you do about Ireland in a different way. We are strong because of our school system, as I said, that feeds into the professional game. They are by sheer weight of numbers. You know, whether it's club rugby, the equivalent of youth here, you know, as distinct from schools, they have a very strong private school system, public schools over there. So England should always be up at the very, very top, challenging. So I don't think there's any excuse for them being.
Okay, so England and France next year definitely, you think, will be.
And us.
Will be at us.
And us.
And us.
Oh, yeah.
And at us, yes.
No, definitely. We're in the real. Like next year, we France and England at home. So the hardest year is always the even year when you've got to face France and England away. So with those two games at home next year, you know, you'd be reasonably optimistic that we're able to shout of a three in a row, which would be, that's never been achieved before, and it would be phenomenal. And I'll tell you what I hate, I'll say to the modern generation of people who go on about it, Asher, what does Six Nations mean, and Triple Crowns and whatnot, it's all about the World Cup. Nonsense.
Yeah.
It's about the next game, the next Six Nations tournament, and the World Cup will look after itself. And our record is awful. We don't deserve to never have managed to get beyond a quarter final. And we will get beyond it. But the Six Nations, we must never lose sight of its importance.
Finally, Scotland. They have in some ways flattered to deceive. They talk a big game, don't always deliver. They turned up roughly the other day against Ireland. What do you think?
Scotland, when they're at their best, are very, very exciting. And definitely Duhan van der Merwe. I think he's been nominated as one of the four outstanding players of this year's competition. And rightly so, because he's so exciting to watch. Point being that when they manage to get the ball onto the wide out, to the edges of the side, they're very, very exciting on both wings. And they've two good centres as well. And
as if. Yep. Former out half, Finn Russell.
Yeah.
He must at times madden the.
Delighted you're bringing this point up.
But he must madden the out half's union. I mean, he is a beautiful talent, no question. But like, you know, kicking the ball out in the full, like somebody of his kicking ability, like that's a poor mistake, don't you think?
And you know what really got me about that? I'm delighted you brought that up. Was when he kicked that restart out on the full, he then smiles. And if you're on that team and you're looking at your skipper, who's your go-to person in every way, because as you rightly say, he's a brilliant rugby player. Like his passing is magnificent. But smiling after putting the ball in, dreadful.
Now, Gregor Townsend himself seems to be, there's quite a dark, moody quality, film kind of stare. If we use in Harry Potter or something, I kind of believe it. But he must drive him absolutely.
I'd say. And Gregor was such a, forgive me for identifying with him, but I was a little bit like Gregor. He kind of played it off the cuff. So I love Gregor as a player and I love his playing philosophy now. But yeah, it must drive him absolutely insane. It's a pity because Finn Russell has so much talent, but he just, at times he prances around the pitch and you're saying, no, but what a talent.
He almost reminds me in a way of Gascoigne, Paul Gascoigne in football.
Brilliant
sense. I mean, both in his physical look, but also in his talent, but also in his...
His demeanor on the field, the body language, all those things. But he's got it, like, and he's He's playing superbly for Bath now. He was brilliant when he was over in France playing. He's a top quality act, but Scotland aren't quite where England and in my opinion, where England and France are, having just been through the Six Nations. We've been through. We're still there. As I say, I'm not sure the Scots are.
Yeah. Okay, well, just looking forward to the rest of the season in rugby. Where do you see all the major honours going?
I feel sorry. This sounds great. I'm obviously Dublin-born, played for Leinster, but I would regard myself as Munster Red because I spent the best part of 10 years down there. And yet it saddens me with Leinster for the last two seasons because they've played incredible rugby, but they've won nothing. And they've been found wanting when it really mattered in the big games. I think that's a hell of a signing. They've got what they call the big Springbok lock is coming up to the Celtics next season. Anyway, you know who I mean. I think what a signing. And you've young McCarthy coming through, James Ryan, Maloney. They've incredible strength and depth. And they're addressing that. Leo is, to be fair, the physical aspect where they've been found wanting in recent times. But I'd love to see Leinster, because again, I would draw a comparison. When Leinster are at their best, they play a similar style of rugby to Ireland, rugby. And it's brilliant to watch. Like, and no matter how begrudging people might be in other provinces, they can't but admire it. So I'd love to see Leinster succeed. I know Munster did last year, and we wallowed in that. I'm not going to pretend otherwise. But I'd love to see... Leinster deserve a trophy. So I'd love to see them win the big one, which is the U. Well, is it? Would you argue that the Champions Cup is bigger? It's, you know, probably is.
Yeah, probably well, is. From a sponsor's perspective, it's
bigger. Definitely.
And if the sponsors say it's bigger, then it's bigger.
And their record against La Rochelle has been so iffy, hasn't it, in the last few years. So.
And you're not allowed to go against sponsors these days, so I won't. So your final sort of final thoughts on Six Nations campaign just gone?
I have to say I really enjoyed it because we brought in a few young players, and I think they've responded in the best way possible. I mean, Nash has been very good on the wing. As I said, Jack Crowley has adapted to the scrum, to the out half position, like a duck to water, as we knew he would. We knew that would be the case, but he's still learning as they go. The one area I think that we've really got to get right is in the tight five. I think we've got two of the best hookers in the world in Dan Sheehan and Ronan Keller. I think they're two outstanding players. And I think that Andrew Porter is playing the best rugby of his life at the moment. In fact, you could argue a case that he was Ireland's best player, even ahead of Aki in this campaign. But I think we've got to get the backup strength either side of the hookers and the balance in the second row. We've got to get that right because we're so strong in the back row. I mean, we've spoken already about the style of flanker might change given the options that Farrell now has and Simon Easterby with Ryan Bird and Thomas Ahern. But definitely the tight five needs stronger backup. What's it, they call it the bomb squad in South Africa that they bring on? We don't quite have a bomb squad yet, but I think we're working towards it.
That's an apt way to leave this particular discussion. Tony Ward, thank you very much. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Sure, Gary. Always.
Thank you very much. This is Gary Cook signing off for the Senior Times.
An will phone poke a nua wet, an will knappy no fum nis orja wet. Nis eiskele husaj, faker na phone eintok a tall gwyn, an cho, eg daro. An vone klishte is dani, gedi gohan la hai glina agus taskina. Ta rod egen go gachtina. Ta nismo olis eg daro.com.